to turn to the book of 1 John again. Book of 1 John. To read at verse 3 of chapter 1. Looking at subject of fellowship, looking at Christian life as it's illustrated in the book of 1 John, and we've already seen that one aspect is a relationship with the Lord, and along with that, the two coincide and go together, would be fellowship, and we see that in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. And he expressed what that was in verse 1. We declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he's talking here about a twofold fellowship that each child of God has the privilege of experiencing. The first, of course, it's not mentioned, it's what this order, but the first is fellowship with God. And then there's a fellowship that we have with the people of the Lord. Before salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we walked according to the course or to the way of this world. And we read that our conversation was among the children of disobedience. That's who we had fellowship with before salvation. We were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. That simply means we were incompatible with the people of God. But all that changed when the Lord saved our soul. There's now a change in the fellowship that we have. And not only is there a change in the fellowship we have, but there's a loss of desire to fellowship with those that we once had fellowship with because, again, we're incompatible. There's no common ground. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, we read that we're to be followers or imitators of God as dear children. We're to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Then he mentions some things in verse 3 and 4, verse 5, some things that we are to avoid. And in verse 7, he says, be ye not therefore partakers with them. That is, who practice the things that were mentioned there in verses 2 through 5. For ye were sometimes, that is, before we were saved, we were in darkness. But now, again, a change has taken place. We are light in the world, and that changes from darkness to light. There's quite a change from darkness to light. And since this change has taken place, and since we're now light in the Lord, and since when we were in darkness, we walked as children of darkness, now that we're light, what are we to do? We're to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So a change has taken place in the people that we fellowship with. Paul, before the Lord saved him, absolutely hated the people of God. He didn't think that they were worthy of life. Why? Simply because of what they believed. Simply because of the way they lived. He absolutely hated anyone who was saved and living a life of righteousness. But the very moment the Lord saved him, mean, he didn't have to be sat down and taught this. As soon as the Lord saved him, there was a change. There was a change in fellowship. No one had to tell him, Paul, now these are the people you need to fellowship with. That was automatic as soon as the Lord saved them. And that's why I have a real problem today with folks who say they're saved and they want to spend more time with lost people than do saved people. That doesn't line up with the teaching of the Word of God. And I don't believe those who say they're saved and all they want to do is hang around lost people and the ungodly and the wicked and the vile, and they're more in agreement with them than they are the saved. I'm sorry, but I don't believe you're the exception. I just believe you're lost, haven't been saved. In the book of Acts chapter 9, the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 19, talking about Saul, or we know him as Paul, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Now, the chapter begins. Saul is on his way to Damascus to arrest God's people. Yet when the Lord saves him, who's he spending time with? The very ones he was going to arrest. And we see later on he essayed to join himself with those of Jerusalem. So from that day forward, Paul began to fellowship with the people of God. And Paul enjoyed fellowship with the people of God. And I don't see anywhere where it is implied that Paul struggled between fellowship with God's people and fellowship with lost people. The struggle didn't exist, and I don't believe it does when the Lord truly saves an individual. So we have the opportunity as God's people not only to fellowship with God, but we have fellowship with a very special people. And God's people are a very special people. Not because of themselves, but because of what God has done for them, because of what God has made them. So we have fellowship with a special people. That is the privilege and opportunity of the saved. I mean, this people today, they can brag about, I know this person and I know that person. I had a conversation with this person and that person. I've had fellowship with the greatest people that's ever lived. People of God. There's nothing that can compare with that. So we are pilgrims, we are strangers in the Word of God, the Bible tells us. But though we're strangers, God in His mercy, God in His goodness, has provided us fellowship for His people. If the Lord just saved us and didn't give us a people to fellowship with, we'd be very lonely because we don't fit in. We certainly don't fit in with the world. And that's why the backslider is such a miserable individual. Because he has put himself in a position, he doesn't really fit in with the world. And now he doesn't really fit in with God's people. He's all alone. And he's very miserable. God has made us to be social creatures. Again, it's not good for man to dwell alone, so God created Eve. God has made us to be social creatures. And God has given us a people that we can socialize with, the people that we can have fellowship with. He has not left us alone. And this fellowship is spoken of throughout the Word of God. Notice in Psalm 119 and verse 63. Psalm 119, verse 63. And I believe there's a, and we'll get to this more probably next week, but I believe there's a twofold fellowship within the family of God. There is a fellowship that we can have with any saved person. That is, we can meet them and we can talk about salvation, and we have more in common with them, whether they may believe universal church, they may believe things that we don't agree with, but I still have more in common with them than I do my lost neighbor. So there is a degree of fellowship. But then there is a greater degree of fellowship with those that we are in agreement in doctrine. And that's a fellowship that you just can't top in this world as far as God's people are concerned. In Psalm 119, verse 63, he says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. Well, that's good fellowship. It's good fellowship to be a companion of those that fear God. I'm going to have a difficult time being a companion of someone who has no fear, no reverence of God, who blasphemes his name, who curses. And you say, well, I just ignore that. How can you? How can you ignore it? Doesn't the Spirit of God, as soon as you hear someone curse the name of God and they do it on a continual basis, doesn't the Spirit of God tell you something in your heart? How can you ignore that? You can't. Not if the Spirit of God is dwelling within. It grieves you. I mean, every time you hear it, it just grieves you. And so it's hard to be a companion with somebody like that. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, we see this fellowship is spoken of in Malachi chapter 3. Notice verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and notice, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. And those that feared the Lord did what? They spoke often one to another, and that thought upon his name. You ought to find somebody that's saved, that's in agreement doctrinally, and you ought to talk often with them. You ought to speak often with them. It'll help you spiritually. And then notice in the book of Acts chapter 2, Book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It's talking about church relationship here, but they agreed in doctrine. There was fellowship. There was breaking of bread and in prayers. It tells me they fellowshipped in breaking of bread and they fellowshipped in prayer. They were companions in these things. And then notice in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through verse 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul writing to a church here. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So the Bible speaks, and these are general terms, but the Bible speaks in general terms of fellowship that exists between the people of God and between those who make up a body of Christ. Now in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, notice what it says. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. This talks about Peter and John being released from prison and being let go. They went to their own company. They went to their own company. That means they went to the people that they had the most in common with. They went to the people that they enjoyed being with. And what was it? As you read on, it was a church. It was a church at Jerusalem. They went to their own company. Where would that be for you? They went to their own company. Because our company says much about who we are. Our company says much about what we are. Again, it's not a scriptural saying, but it's certainly true. It's scripturally true. Birds of a feather flock together. That's very true. That's very true scripturally. And they went to a people that were of kindred spirit with them. You realize the problem you have if you are of kindred spirit with those of the world? And you've got a problem. Because the world's spirit is contrary to God's spirit. So we're known by the company we keep. Oh, you just hang around those holy rollers. Amen. You're known by the company. I'd rather be hanging around holy rollers, if you will, than drunkards. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of that one bit. So we're known by the company we keep. Company we keep speaks loud and clear of our character. It also speaks loud and clear of our interests. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have anything at all in common with lost people. You may talk about your garden with them. You can there are things that you can have a common interest in with lost people. But you cannot base a lasting friendship on a garden. It's not going to work. I mean, somewhere along the line, or in weather, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to talk about something else. And you're going to get into things that you find out, you know what? We don't have much in common. And that's true of all lost people. That's true of our relatives. Oh, we can talk about old times. We can talk about family. We can talk about when we were kids together. We have all that in common. But that's as far as it goes. That's as far as it goes. And there's something far, far deeper. So these people that Peter and John identified with are the one and the ones they had the most in common with, the people they desired to be with, were very special people. Now I want to notice today what kind of people these individuals were that Peter and John went to. That is, they went to their own company. What kind of people were these individuals? Well, they were a worshiping people. We see there, beginning with chapter 4, verse 23, all the way through verse 31, that they assembled together. Here was a people that assembled together. Here was a people who were not easily deterred from worshiping God. In verse 24, and when they heard that is what Peter and John had to say, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They received the bad news of how Peter and John were treated, and their response was, thou art God. They immediately recognized the sovereignty of God, and they began to worship God. Those were the people that Peter and John wanted to be around. Those are the people that you and I have the privilege of fellowshipping with. We see also they were a people filled with praise. There through verses 24 through verse 28. We see, first of all, they praise God for who he is, that he was the Lord and God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, there in verse 24. They praise God for the gift of his son, verses 25 through 27. You know, I'd rather be with somebody who praises God for the gift of his son rather than uses his son's name in vain. I'd much rather be with the people that praise his name. And we have the privilege of being with those folks. I don't care. I'll be honest with you. I don't care if it's my parents' 50th anniversary or their 75th anniversary. If all that's going to be there is folks that are going to curse God's name, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And again, I make no apology for that. There's no joy in that, none whatsoever. And we see they praise God for his sovereignty in verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. Those are the people we have the privilege of fellowshipping with, people that believe God, people that will praise Jesus Christ, people who will declare the sovereignty of God. And in a world filled with blasphemy, isn't it wonderful that God has left a remnant? And it is a remnant. But God has left a remnant of people that praise him. There is a remnant of people who believe in the sovereignty of God and believe who God is. And it seems to me that I ought to seek out that people. That's the people that we ought to want to be around. I mean, if there's one at your place of work, that's who you ought to be hanging around with rather than the ungodly. Well, everybody makes fun of him. Good, join in with them, then they'll be making fun of two people. Maybe you shouldn't be ashamed of being associated with the people of God. They were a praying people. Verse 29 and verse 30 of Acts chapter 2. And in a world that is oblivious to God, in a world that is so self-involved that they do not even have time to consider where their blessings come from, God has left a remnant of people that know. He has left a remnant of people that know where their blessings come from, and a remnant of people who are going to thank God. You know, it thrills my soul if I'm in a restaurant and I look over and I see someone praying for their food. I may not agree with them, what they believe on the church or anything else, but I just thank God that they realize where their blessings come from. And I guarantee you, I can have better fellowship with them than all the lost people in that restaurant. So there is a fellowship. And again, we're not advocating church. There's a difference between personal fellowship and church fellowship. So we're not advocating that the church fellowships with anybody that's saved. That's not what we're advocating at all. There's two different degrees of fellowship. But it is our privilege. It is our opportunity. God's left a remnant of people. And those are the people we can have some fellowship with. We see also in verse 31 that they were a people who were saturated with God. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Again, this is talking about church, but they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't have trouble fellowshipping with somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have trouble fellowshipping with somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit, you know why that is? It's because you're not. That's the reason. Well, I don't like being around them. They're too pious. You know what the word pious means? It means holy. I don't like being around them. They're too holy. What are you saying? What are you saying? What? First of all, what is too much holiness? And then show me in the Bible what is too much holiness. There's no such thing. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ, who is perfectly holy. We have a real spiritual problem if we do not enjoy being around people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't like being around them. All they want to talk about is the Bible. Well, what are you saying? I mean, just come out and say it. What you're saying is that bores me. What you're saying is there's other things to talk about. Well, that's true. But are there other things more important to talk about? No. That's not so. Well, I'd rather be around somebody that talks about fashion, or I'd rather be around somebody that talks about sports. What are you saying? I mean, just come out and say it. You're saying, I'm more interested in fashion, I'm more interested in sports, and I am the Word of God, and therefore I can find better fellowship with people that are in line with that. So again, we're known by the people we fellowship with. Here was a people who was saturated with the Spirit of God. They were filled with the Spirit of God. And when Peter and John got out of prison, that's who they sought. That's where they went. Now, today, most, if they were like Peter and John, getting released from prison, who had been abused, we would have gone to the attorney's office. That's where we would have went first. Or we would have went to the state senator or something to file a complaint. But they returned to their own company because there was a fellowship there that could not be found anywhere else. And that ought to be true of you and I as well. So we have fellowship with God, but there is also a fellowship that God has enabled us to have with his people as well. And we ought to thank the Lord for that. We'll continue with that thought next week. Let's